So some of you would probably be well aware of this, and others would not. Today, the first Sunday in October, is what's called Worldwide Communion Sunday. So it's an emphasis for Bible-believing churches, for churches around the world to focus in on taking communion together as the body of Christ. And that's kind of a neat thing, to think that this morning as we're taking communion, literally millions of other people will be taking communion this morning with us, our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Communion, I think, if we really take it and break it down just a little bit, it's kind of a weird thing that we do as Christians. If you just think of it from the emphasis of the actual moment that we take communion. We go to this table, and we take this piece of bread, and we take this cup, and we say, this is the body, and this is the blood of Christ, let's eat this. That seems a little bit strange in just that context, right? But communion is something that has incredible meaning for us as believers in Jesus Christ. As believers in Jesus Christ, communion is a sacrament that we take part in, that we're instructed to take part in. A sacrament is basically it's an outward and visible sign of an inward change in somebody's life. And that's what we're doing when we celebrate communion. A sacrament is determined by a simple question, and that question is simply this: did Jesus do it? Did Jesus do it? Communion was given to us by Jesus during the Passover celebration, which was his last meal with his disciples. So we celebrate that. Oftentimes we look at that a little bit more in depth around Easter time, right? Jesus changed the meaning of the Passover bread and the wine with these words that we find in Matthew chapter 26. And if you want to turn there, you can. It's Matthew 26. It's verses 26 and 27. And with these words, Jesus changes the meaning of the Passover bread and the Passover wine. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And it was forever changed, the Passover meal, with those words spoken by Christ. Paul, Apostle Paul, wrote many books in the New Testament. He's the author of Corinthians, and in Paul's letter to Corinth, it's probably one of the oldest books that you find in the New Testament. I think a lot of people would say probably like the fourth or fifth book that was written in the Old Testament. It was definitely written before all the Gospels that we read through and oftentimes study, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It provides this glimpse into the early church for us. Corinthians does. And what we see is that communion has played a very important, a very significant role in the life of the church from the very beginning of the church. The Corinthian church had all sorts of issues a part of it, just like the church today has all sorts of issues that are a part of it. The Corinthian church, some of their issues was that they professed their faith in Jesus, and they felt like they're assured this eternal life, and then because of that, they could just keep on living life full of sin and sensual pleasure, which Corinth was known for. That decision made no difference in their lives. Some of their dysfunction also had to do with how they were treating each other in communion. Back then, communion took place during a communal meal, right? That Passover celebration meal. Some wealthy Corinthians had turned this gathering into an exercise to eat too much and to get drunk, leaving little left over for the people who really needed it, the poor. Paul writes to address this and other issues when he writes about communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So I want you to turn with me there. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. These are words that I have read to you on multiple occasions, and you'll hear them again on multiple more occasions. But hopefully we're looking at them in a little bit of a different view this morning. So Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." And that's where we'll stop for this morning. So because it's Worldwide Communion Sunday, because we're doing communion together, participating in this sacrament together, I always like to do a little bit of teaching on it, because I think it has such importance and significance to us as believers. So we're going to spend a few minutes this morning talking about what communion is. And the first thing I want to say is communion, it's participation in Christ's death. If you're taking notes, that's the first thing to write down. It's participation in Christ's death. Our passage says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Communion isn't just about something that we do in memory of Jesus. But somehow, by receiving communion, we are caught up in the work of Jesus on the cross. Right now, in the present, we're caught up with the work of Jesus on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul asks this question: Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? When we take communion, we are responding to Jesus' call to die to ourselves and to die to sin itself. That's what we're responding to. So one of the questions that is a fair question for us to be asking ourselves this morning is, what needs to die inside of Dustin? What needs to die inside of you so that you can be more Christ-like? Is there something in your life, something, a part of your daily routine? Is there some attitude, some whatever it is, that you need to let die so that you can be more like Christ? Because communion, it's participation in Christ's death. Secondly, communion, we experience the presence of Christ when we do it. These ordinary, everyday elements that we're going to go to the table in a few minutes and pick up and bring back to our chairs with us, this bread and this juice in this situation, it becomes vessels for the very real presence of Jesus and his sacrificial work on the cross to meet us in a physical and a tangible way. That thought alone should slow us down just a little bit in the process. When we come to the table this morning, the very presence of Jesus is here with us in this place. Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am as well." The Holy Spirit is always with us. But the mystery of communion is Jesus himself meets us through the bread and the cup. When you think of it like that, there's really no other place that we should rather be this morning than here, receiving communion with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. That's why Paul says to mistreat the communion meal is to mistreat Jesus himself. Right? The last couple of verses of what we read, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. When we encounter the presence of Jesus, it changes us. We have been focusing on biblical characteristics over the last month and a half now. And last week, Spencer led us through the focus of prayer and praying. One thing that we see in the communion, the concept of communion, is this wonderful word called grace. So if we're continuing in that series, I'm tying in that word grace this morning as we're doing our communion focus as a biblical characteristic that we need to examine ourselves for and say, you know what, I need to be able to do a little bit better at offering grace perhaps to some people. Many of us are probably in that boat this morning. Because here's the deal, communion, it's about grace. And that's our third point. We receive God's grace when we take communion this morning. When we take this bread and drink this cup this morning, we are receiving the benefits offered to us through Jesus' sacrificial death. God's grace and his forgiveness. That's why John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, referred to communion as a means of grace. A means of grace. When we come to the communion table this morning, it's a means of grace that we're receiving. It isn't just a snack. It isn't just something we do to remember Jesus. But communion presents us with an opportunity to encounter the grace of God offered to us through Jesus Christ in a very, very real way. Now, society offers us a definition of grace that would often, I think it's fair to say, would be some sort of disposition to or act or instance of kindness, courtesy, clemency. That's kind of how we would define grace often. I'm sure some of you guys read this article. It was in Penn Live or whatever, a couple of weeks ago, in the middle of September. And it was just an article. When I saw it, I had to print it out. I knew that it would be something I share with the congregation at some point in time because it's one of those things that just sticks out. There's so many great things that can come out of this article. So the title of the article is, "An Elderly Man Couldn't Pay for His Breakfast Tab, So a Police Officer Did." And it goes on. This is local, right? So a Swatara Township police officer is getting praise Wednesday for his handling of a situation with a diner where an elderly customer couldn't pay for his breakfast. The man in his 80s was having difficulty accessing his money from his credit or debit card, and he didn't know what to do, so he called the police. Officer Anthony Glass showed up at about 8:20 a.m., sat down with the man in the booth, and quietly paid for his tab. The elderly man, who used a walker, asked for the officer's contact information so that he could repay him, according to Jason Bias, another customer in the Capitol Diner on Eisenhower Boulevard. "No way," the officer responded, according to Bias. "I got you covered." The act of kindness made by Bias made Bias feel warm and fuzzy, so he decided to post it on Facebook. The post was shared more than 1,300 times, and that was 2 weeks ago, so who knows how many times now. It's prompted more than 200 comments. Some commenters thought the diner called the police on the elderly person, and they were upset about it, but that wasn't the case. It was a misunderstanding. The police chief, Daryl Ryder, who confirmed that the elderly man called for help because he was getting rattled about the situation. He was confused, but had the wherewithal to call for assistance, the police chief said, and I'm very proud of the way Officer Glass handled the situation. An act an instance of kindness, of courtesy, of love. That's how we show grace. The biblical definition of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor or an undeserved gift of love and forgiveness. It's given and it cannot be earned. It's the officer that gives of his self, pays for this guy's meal. And there's nothing the guy could have done to earn that. The officer just chose to do it, to give it. The only way to experience grace is to receive it, like that man did. Since grace is kind of this biblical characteristic, I want us to look just a little bit more at that word this morning before we come to communion. See, grace blesses us when we don't deserve to be blessed. Grace is received when we fall down. Grace is received when we fail miserably. Grace is received when our face is flat on the floor. When we fall flat on our faces, when we're exposed and are found out. And forgiveness and restoration meets us. That's grace. In fact, it's grace that finds us out often. Grace meets us in the middle of our mess and offers us forgiveness and offers us restoration. And grace takes away the power and control that fear and sin and failure have over us. It frees us up from our baggage in life. It empowers us to address our failures in life. In doing so, it takes away fear's power and control over us so that we don't have to run anymore. That's why Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, blessed are the ones who don't have it all together. Blessed are the ones who are deeply aware of the fact that they don't have it all together, because it is there when we are aware of that, that grace meets you and freedom begins. When we come to the table this morning, we admit we are broken and thus make ourselves ready to receive God's grace. Grace goes beyond that. Grace calls you and I, as believers, beyond ourselves. Grace speaks this fresh word about who we are created to be. To the woman who was caught in adultery in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Go and leave your life of sin." Grace meets us in our brokenness and then points us in a new direction, like Jesus did in that moment. Grace says, this may be what you've done in life, but this is not who you can be in Jesus. This is why Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, God's kindness or God's grace leads us to repentance. God's unmerited, undeserved love and acceptance moves us beyond where we are and points us in a brand new direction if we allow it to happen, if we're willing to receive that grace. One author says this, says Jesus wants not just to influence us, but to rescue us. Not just to inform us, but to heal us. Not just to give us something to think about, but to feed us. That's what this meal, that's what communion is all about. Communion grounds us in the truth that God loves us just the way that we are. And we've all heard this said, right? And it's so true. But God also loves us enough not to leave us that way. He absolutely loves you just the way you sit today, but he knows the potential for your life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I certainly need a fresh reminder of that. It can be way too easy to forget about what is true, to lose touch with our need for God's grace. I urge you this morning, as brothers and sisters in Christ, look for ways to offer the same grace to others. Incredible grace that God has offered to you and offers to you on a daily basis. That's part of us trying to be a reflection of Jesus Christ, which we're instructed to do, is that we be bearers of grace. Communion is our opportunity to have a fresh encounter with God, to be in his presence, to be reminded that we are loved, to be reminded that we are accepted, and that we are made new. We've received grace from that which is greater than us. This is why we receive communion together. For those of you that are with us here in person this morning, you've seen and you understand that the worship center is set up different than we normally have it set up. And some may be wondering a little bit why. For those of you that are home, we normally have our communion up front and people come to the front and they take communion. This morning we have a big gap in the middle of the worship center with a table in the very center. This last week, I was watching a video by Francis Chan, and in that video, Francis Chan was talking about communion. And I don't remember all the details that he shared, but the one line that really stuck in my mind that Francis Chan said in that video was, "The body of Christ is the center of the church." The body of Christ is the center of the church. I thought, wow, that's such powerful imagery for us, that we're the body of Christ, right? You and I, we make up the body of Christ together. The important thing is that we are united in making sure that Christ is the center of the body. That Christ is always the focus of who we are and what we do. And I think we are seeing greater division in the last 2 years in society and in the church and everywhere you look than perhaps any time in my lifespan. There's division everywhere. I think division is a tool that Satan loves to use in the church. He knows the power of division. If he can just cause division, he can cause incredible destruction. But I'd be willing to bet that one thing that we are all united on this morning, as we have gathered here together, is that Christ should be the center of the body. So this morning, I rearranged stuff when I came in because I wanted there to be this symbolic change for this morning where we as the body are all around the center. And we'll come to the table, we'll come to the table of God united because he is the center of who we should be. So it's just one of those slight changes that I think can bring a little bit of different symbolism to us. Of the need to think of we make up the body and we can be united in the one and the greatest fact. And that fact is that our focus needs to be on the center of the body, which is Christ Jesus. So this morning, we're going to end our time together by having communion. And I don't know how this is going to work flow-wise exactly. We haven't done it before, so bear with us. But my thinking is that we will have at the back on this side, Dean, if you guys, your row will get up and lead first, and then the back on the other side, you'll come after them. And we'll start in the front this side, in the front this side, and we'll just kind of go, and there's a big aisle down the center so you can make your way back to your chairs. Communion is for everybody. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to participate in communion with us this morning. There's no membership requirements or anything like that. It's an open table to believers of Jesus Christ. We encourage you to participate with us on this worldwide communion Sunday. When you get your elements, this will be a little bit different than we normally do as well. I would like for you to bring your elements back to your chair and just hold on to them. You can be seated, just hold on to them. Again, as a symbolic moment, I want us to unitedly take the elements together. So I'll lead us in that when we get to that point. So you're going to come to the table, and go back, sit down, and then I will lead us in actually eating and drinking of the cup this morning. If you need somebody to bring you your elements this morning, just raise your hand once we get started, and I'll make note of that. And our deacon teams, they have stuff set up that they can bring it to you if that is helpful for you this morning as well. There's going to be a music video played here in just a moment, and once that music video starts, if you guys want to get started on going through the table, I encourage you when you come back, listen to the words of the song that's being played. Just a great meditative kind of song for us as we are participating in this holy moment together this morning. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you for this day, this worldwide communion celebration. It is only because of your love and your grace that we gather this morning to recognize this moment. Heavenly Father, help us as individuals, help us as a church to show unity about what matters in life. And this morning, that focus is simply on you. You are the center. You should be the center of each of our lives, and you should be the center of this church and the church. So, Lord God, may it not be just symbolic this morning, but may it be in every decision that is made. May it be in every discussion that takes place amongst believers within the church and within Fairland, that we can show grace to one another, that we can be unified together in serving our God. We thank you, Lord God, for your willingness to die on that cross for me, for each one in here, because you loved us so deeply, so richly. Help us to never take that for granted, but every time we come to the table, to remember your love for us, your forgiveness for us, and the grace that you have offered to us. I pray this in your name. Amen. We can go ahead and start the music video and receive communion. Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In remembrance of Jesus, let's eat the bread together this morning. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of Jesus this morning, let's drink from the cup. Lord God, we thank you that as we are able to have the freedom to come and receive communion together, that not only are we together as a body, not only are we focused on you as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but that we are literally in your presence in this moment, Lord God. We thank you for that. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that walks with us day in and day out. We thank you for your rich love for us. Father God, as we leave this morning, may we be constantly reminded of the need for us as your church, as the body of Christ, to show grace, kindness, love, as you have done to each one of us. I pray this in your name. Amen.